Hello and welcome to Cap Talks Back. And today we've got Grant Rogers from 3P Enterprise in for a chat with us. I think it's fair to say that Grant is passionate about pet care, so much so that he's developed his own product, Henry Wag, which is spearheading his business at the moment. Welcome to the podcast, Grant.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. Nice to have me. Thanks for having me along.
Brilliant. Let's have a look at this because I've got a few things down here. And the first thing is health and well-being of pets, how people now live with their pets, the humanization of the relationship and changes in behavior. Now, I had my first dog when I was 13 years old, which is probably over 10 years ago now. maybe a little bit longer. But, you know, health and well-being of pets was probably a sentence that we wouldn't have said. Things really have changed, haven't they?
They have, absolutely, yes. And it's something that we've seen accelerate over the last recent number of years, really. Same with me when I was a child. We had dogs. So I grew up on a farm. We had dogs at home and they lived outside. They got very little more than simply a bowl of food and some water, and lucky if they got a walk. And obviously now the way people live and interact with their pets has changed enormously. The relationship that the people have with their animals is very close. People have a much more humanized relationship with their pets. They take them traveling with them. When they go shopping to their local town, they take them and they go into the cafes, which obviously now most of them are, a lot of them are at least dog friendly.
Yeah.
The way people live with their pets has changed enormously.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, and terminology like parents instead of pet owners, people, you know, parents. And my wife does this, you know, she'll say, oh, mummy, you know, go to daddy. And I'm there and I go, no.
I'm afraid we're guilty of that as well in our house. Yeah. Our dog's got a mum and a dad. We used to say we were dog owners or pet owners, whereas now we're pet parents, and they're our fur babies. So, you know, that terminology just reflects the change in the attitude.
Yeah, it's definitely a change in attitude, without a doubt. But because I wondered if it was because, like, I had a dog when I was 13, I had another one when I was 27, that one grew old and died, and so on and so forth. So we had dogs right through bringing up all my children and everything, and, like, you know, we treated them very differently then. And I'm just wondering, my kids have now grown up, flown the nest, and it's just me, Sharon, and the dogs. And so it's not even that, is it? It's not even the fact that we haven't got the kids there now. People are actually changing their attitude towards their pets.
Very much so, yes. And of course, with every generation there comes a different change or a change in their relationship, and we're seeing now, especially after the COVID pandemic, where a lot of people who've never had a dog before have been out and become pet parents. A lot of them are younger generation. A lot of them are first time dog owners. And their incentive for getting a dog is the relationship that they have with it. And they're looking for products and experiences that reflects that closer relationship. So that humanized relationship. And I guess that's given us the opportunity to develop the brand that we have.
You spotted this quite a while ago, though, I think. You know, how long's Henry Wag? It's a few years now, isn't it?
Henry Wag was first created in about 2013. So, you know, we're talking about 7 or 8 years ago. We really developed it, I suppose, into what it is now. The first proper steps were probably 5 years ago, where we defined what it was and what it meant. How that reflected my own lifestyle, I guess, being, you know, quite outdoorsy. We took the dog with us a lot, and we experienced lots of the problems that people who have dogs and are active with dogs outdoors experience. You know, a lot of it is wet, dirt and mess, whilst we love having a dog, we don't want all that in the house and the car. So that really was the incentive for creating what we've done.
Yeah. Because it's quite hard work at times, isn't it? I go home every lunchtime and take the dogs for a walk, and I'm just really hoping it's not too wet and mucky, because when you get back, you've got to clean them all off and dry them, and, you know, and put them and dry, and they've got to dry for a little bit before you let them back in the house. And it's quite a palaver when it's a nice day. It's just quick change of shoes and out we go.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Not shoes for the dog, I should say.
Although we could do those too. That's a future project. We have a towel by the door, and I've got a towel in the car for exactly the same reason. And we're very lucky. Yeah. And our dog is short haired, so it doesn't get that mucky. But Beth, my wife, was out with a spaniel parent yesterday, and the spaniel, and she said that the spaniel was an absolute disaster area when it finished. It was covered in mud and dirt, and the amount of time it took for her to rub it down, it was amazing. I see that what we've created in terms of the Henry Wagg brand is really gained, and we've seen it really gain traction over the last 2 or 3 years.
You worked really hard getting the branding right and your target market, and you you go all over the world with exhibitions. You're not scared to get out of your comfort zone, and that's always been a big thing. I remember you doing a presentation at CAP and saying, that's where the magic happens. You've got to get up off your jacksy and get outside your comfort zone. And you certainly are a shining example of that.
Yeah, you have. I remember the first trade show I did in the UK when I was, before Henry Wagg existed, we imported some products from the US, and we took those to a trade show, first one I did, and I just felt out of my comfort zone. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. I think we got away with it. We didn't get much business out of it, but it was a learning curve, learning experience. And each time we've done it, we've got better. Things like we used to hire vans to go to trade shows and take all our products and loads of banners. And now when I do trade shows, I can fit it in the boot of the car. So the whole thing is much slicker and much easier to do. And that just comes from experience. Doing overseas exhibitions, it is challenging. We've done a couple in Germany and a couple in the US. It's difficult, but it's uncomfortable, but as you say, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Do you drive out there?
So
if you were in Germany, for example.
No, to Germany, I didn't know. We send the stuff in advance with a freight forwarder, and then plane and fly it there.
Oh, wow.
A lot of organisation.
And it's obviously paid off because you're now, distributing right throughout Europe.
Yeah, we've got a few distributors in Europe. It's not been as rapid an expansion as we would have liked. But we've got distribution within Norway, Denmark, some in the Netherlands, some curious markets outside of Europe. So we've got a great distributor in Kuwait. We've got a great one in Estonia, which obviously is in Europe, but Eastern Europe. And we've got a distributor in Canada. So, and in fact, we just took an order today, first order from a store, a customer who has 2 or 3 stores in New Zealand, in Auckland. So,
oh, wow.
That's the first.
You should take them out yourself and have a holiday. It's a brilliant place.
I don't sure I can claim that.
Sorry?
I'm not sure I can claim that.
Yeah.
My accountant might have something to say.
Anyway, talking about sourcing products. I've got here sourcing products from low cost manufacturing countries now has added challenges. So talking about going around the globe at the moment, it's been quite a big issue for you at the moment, hasn't it? With all the COVID, and I guess Brexit hasn't helped either.
Yeah, it's been, the last 12 months have been really challenging, and I think the next 12 months probably will be even more challenging, not just for us, but for anybody who is bringing products or items in from overseas. It's the whole global logistics system at the moment is in a pickle. The costs are through the roof, we will see not just within the pet business and our products, but within all areas of pretty much every market, price increases. It's no secret of the fact that I didn't vote for Brexit, and from our point of view, for a free market is really key. But problems that we see now are not entirely Brexit related, and actually most of them are due to COVID. Simply huge increases in demand for products from manufacturing countries,
it's a double-edged sword for you as well, isn't it? Because it's at a time when you're at your busiest, because everybody wants a dog, because since the COVID period it's boomed, and also your products are in more places now, so it's kind of I don't know what to say. I feel for you.
We'll do. We're all being well this year. We'll have the biggest year we've ever had, and we probably won't make any money. So we just need to survive the next 12 months and keep our heads down and keep going. And as long as we can maintain the demand that we've got and grow the demand that we're getting and the interest that we're getting, that will see us through this period. As long as we don't run out of money in the meantime.
And you're looking at alternatives to China as well at the moment.
Yeah. Obviously, this sort of time when you have these problems, it's a real incentive. Necessity is the mother of all invention, as they say. And really, we're looking at trying to find alternative manufacturing sources. We're looking at potentially UK, but certainly sources that are closer to us. So maybe Eastern Europe or North Africa. As other options.
It's quite strange, isn't it? North Africa's on our doorstep.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
feels close that way.
You know, in Eastern Europe, you want to bring something over from Turkey, for example, you just put it on the back of a lorry and drive it over.
Do you think that manufacturing will come back in Britain, in the UK?
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. One of the the benefits as a result of Brexit will be that. I think the British brand in general will gain notoriety and attention around the world. There are markets around the world that really respect the British brands. North America, India, for example, we're looking at, we're doing some work with a couple of companies in India who should, all being well, be able to help us launch our products on Indian online marketplaces.
Wow.
And the British brand is really thought of very highly over there. India's a massive market. You break it down, you wouldn't think that India would be a particularly affluent market for pet ownership, but there's nearly 200 million people that have a disposable income similar or equal to the UK. So that's three times the UK market in India for those who have the money. So it's a huge opportunity. And all those people are buying online. They've got the ability to buy.
Yeah. And India's up and coming, isn't it?
Especially at the moment, you know. So, it's a massive opportunity for us.
That 200 million could, you know, quite easily double over the next few years.
Yeah, yeah. As their lifestyle their lifestyle improves.
Well, you know, on that front, I really hope things work out. And I know, you know, you're very, very determined. I think most people would have given up, you know, because it's, you know, business is never easy. But you've always kind of really just, you know, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll develop this and I'll develop that. And we'll get it right. And you know, as we all do, there's mistakes along the way, and you learn from them, and you've kind of done all that sort of thing. And I think out of, you know, all the members in CAP, you're probably the one that's hit maybe the most by COVID, or certainly in, you know, in the top half a dozen, as I say, with all the the shipping charges and just trying to get containers. I guess the Chinese are struggling to get containers back, apparently. So that's another thing.
And of course, raw material prices are now going up. We're starting to see prices for factories, raw materials. So it's almost a perfect storm, really. But I'm pretty determined, and I am stubborn. That sort of thing beat me.
Well, actually, I looked on the Henry Wagg website today, and I was really surprised that your prices haven't gone up, have they? You haven't put your prices up at all.
Not yet. Oh. They are going up. And actually, we've tried to be really, really cautious with that. We were prepared to take a hit on the increased shipping charges, on the presumption that it would be relatively short-lived. The truth is that now it's looking like it's probably going to be bad for another 12 months. We're now seeing, as I say, raw material price increases from the factory. So we really have no choice now. We have had to implement price increases, and those will start to appear. We need to give our retailer customer shops a month or so notice. So those will happen in July. There will be some.
Yeah, I think people will expect it, to be honest. I was quite surprised you haven't already gone down that route. I think most things, you know, most things now are starting to, we're starting to feel it now a little bit. So,
Yeah, and most of our customers are very understanding. You know, they're seeing it already from other suppliers. Yeah, it's a fact of life. Prices go up, unfortunately.
very rarely come down.
Very.
Grant, I can't do a podcast without you without mentioning some of the some of the awards that you've won. And the one that I know a lot, I've got Pet Quip and Pats, and I don't really know what they are, and I'm sure you'll explain them both in a sec. But the one I really loved was the fact that you won the BBC's The Customer's Always Right. And it was a couple of, was it a couple of years ago now, I guess?
It is a couple of years ago, yeah,
Yeah,
2019.
and I remember when the program was first aired, and I sat and watched it, and it was just a great, it was really, really great to see you on there, because you looked like you were really enjoying yourself. You looked like you had a great day, as well as won the competition, and everyone else on there as well. Looked like a lot of fun. But
It was.
what a great boost for your business.
It was fantastic publicity, actually. I mean, I couldn't have afforded to buy that sort of publicity. It was great fun. It was really good fun. I mean, it just came about. There was some PR that went into one of the pet publications, which I saw that they were looking for people who were developing products in the pet business. And there was an email address. I sent an email there and then, and within about half an hour, I had a reply. They asked me to submit a bit of a story, background story about me and what I did and the brand and the product we were developing, and which I did, and they said, "Yeah, okay, you're on." Which I thought was, well, then, you know, that's very nice, that's great. When I spoke to them, they said, "Oh no, there was an awful lot of people who didn't get on." So it was a real
Wow.
bit of kudos even to get on the show, actually. And then the show itself obviously raised profile enormously.
Yeah.
You know, we expected to get some reaction to it, but nothing like the reaction that we did get.
And
And
they do reruns as well, and you still get a big reaction from the reruns.
well, the first time they showed it, we knew it was going out. The second time they showed it, and in fact, the third time they showed it, we didn't know it was going out. So, in fact, the third time they showed it was the Friday before Christmas, 2019, and we were all winding down at lunchtime to go for our Christmas lunch. And all of a sudden, the till started ringing, and in the blink of an eye, we had about 300 orders to pack before 3 o'clock. So our Christmas lunch was not quite what we expected it to be.
Did you make up for it after?
We haven't, because since then we've been in lockdown and haven't been able to get out very
Oh
much. So
no.
we will do that. Yeah, there's a lot of catching up to do.
So Pet Quip and Pats, I guess they're industry specific.
They are, yes. Pet Quip is the association of pet manufacturers, effectively. So we're an association member of that, they awarded us the Pet Product of the Year 2019 for the noodle glove towel, and in fact the range of microfiber products, or the drying products. So that's great, and obviously we're up against other pet products in that, and other pet, UK pet manufacturers in that category. So to come out of that on top really is great recognition indeed,
Yeah.
and that's probably one of the most highly valued awards that we have, really. And the PATS one is the Pet Aquatic Trade Show, which again is a trade organisation. We do a show with those guys twice a year, and each show they have a new products gallery where you enter the product, and the people who
Yep.
attend the show can see the product, and then it's voted on by a selection of free
Wow.
in
Yeah.
industry people. So
And it
yeah.
was the noodle towel, wasn't it, that you were on the beeb with, that was
The Pat Show one was the coat, actually, so the drying
Oh,
coat,
right.
but the
Okay.
other one was the Peckwood one was the needle tower.
Yeah. So, Grant, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. I'm going to pull the podcast up there, but thank you so much for coming along. And I'm just going to, you know, mention to everyone, have a look at henrywag.com. Just have a look, and There's so many great products there, which really would help you as a pet owner with your pets, and all high quality. And at the moment, super great prices, really worth getting on quickly. Yeah, before they go up. But thanks again, Grant. Really appreciate today.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
Really fantastic.
Fun. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so we're going to be making another podcast in the not too distant future, but until then, have fun.